The very first thing you did was slam the door in their face. The moment that they sense that you might give them a discount, they're like, all right, let me get like super aggressive here. The first thing you said is, while we do not control the copy or the landing page or how your product sells and all that, the number one thing that I advise in this situation is that is your job. This talk is going to be very different. It's not a talk. It's interactive. So this requires some of y'all to come up here and we're going to have some fun. So this is called I vibe coded this software program. It's called the Negotiation Roleplay Spinner. And so here's the premise of the game. I'm going to spin a line, click that little button that says spin a line, and I'm going to get a random objection on the screen. Let's say you're in a conversation with a sponsor or an advertiser. So you're trying to convince them to sponsor you, buy an ad unit, whatever. And something is going to come up and you're going to have 60 seconds to overcome this objection. Do we understand the premise of the game? Is this terrifying to anyone? Good. That's the point of this. My whole like thing is that practicing this stuff, figuring out in advance what you would say on a phone call with a sponsor like this is going to help you be better equipped. Do we all understand this? Okay. All right. So who is going to be the first victim? Raise hand here. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. I know someone's brave here. Come on. Come on. Oh, we got in the back there. Come on. Let's give it up. Let's give it up. Is that Ed? Okay. So Ed, give us the 20-second version of what your business is.
I help couples talk about money more lovingly.
Okay, so are you ready for this? You understand the premise of the game?
I think I do.
Okay, all right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to spin the line, I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to start the timer.
Okay.
And you're going to have to imagine you're negotiating with the sponsor and what you would say, okay?
You're the sponsor.
I'm the sponsor, yeah.
I win the deal.
You're trying to win the deal for me. Okay, here we go. This is more than we paid for a recent campaign with you, Ed. Here we go, 60 seconds, go.
Yeah, I understand. I'm curious, what did you get from the last campaign?
That's a great question, Ed. Well, we were hoping that it would generate more sales and you know, the ROI just wasn't there for us. So how can we justify this investment?
I'm curious, what do you think didn't work in that ad for your audience?
Well, you know, Ed, we also sponsor other podcasts and other newsletters, and our acquisition costs were just better in those scenarios. So are you able to like meet what we're paying those other people?
I'd be open to considering it.
Mm-hmm. Like, so what, like how much of a discount could you give us?
I don't know. 20%?
20%. Could you do better? Could you do like 50% maybe?
I do have kids to pay and I pay for. My wife's getting a little upset. I think I got to keep my prices. I mean, you're married too, right?
Yeah.
You understand how this goes.
All right. There we go. Time's up. All right. Give him a round of applause. All right. So real quickly, come over here. Self audit. Anything you liked, anything that you would have wanted to improve on?
I like that I asked what you didn't.
Okay.
Like or didn't think was going on.
Okay.
I think negotiating down the price was, got uncomfortable. I felt myself like one go.
Anyone ever been in a situation like this where they're trying to compare you to other partners and things like that? So what I want to compliment you on first was absolutely stellar work. The first thing he did was ask me the question. Clarify. Why are you upset? I think a lot of times, all of a sudden, we get on the defensive and we start talking and digging ourselves into a further hole. And so they could have said something very innocuous to you, like, oh, well, you know, last year we, you know, or our budgets got cut or something completely unrelated to the actual ad unit
right.
that they ran with you. So the first thing you did is clarify. That was fantastic. And you actually kept asking questions. I love that. So you're just like, tell me what? Like, what would you have wanted for that?
Right.
So that's absolutely fantastic. And so you hit the nail on the head, which was that. Getting into this, like, how much? Because the moment that they sense that you might give them a discount, they're like, all right, let me get like super aggressive here,
right?
In terms of like going, you know, naming numbers, like, oh, could you do this? Could you do this?
Right.
And so my best piece of advice in that scenario, can I get back to you? That line will be absolutely gold for you. You do not necessarily need to answer that question directly on a phone call or whatever. If you need, I need to go talk with my team. I need to go talk with my wife. You know. And I'm going to think this through. That will allow you the ability to be a little bit more thoughtful, you know, chat with your team, bring in other people on their team, potentially have another conversation. So don't ever be fearful of like saying, I need more time. I need to think this through. So was that helpful? All right, let's go. Ed, let's give it up for Ed. Let's go. We'll need you to attend our product launch event next month as part of this sponsorship. 60 seconds, go. Hey, just a quick heads up. My in-person event, Sponsor Games, is happening March 15th to the 18th, 2026 in San Antonio, Texas. It's the only event in the world where you can practice your sponsorship pitch, do real-time negotiation role play, connect with other creators landing 4- and 5-figure brand deals, and potentially win our cash grand prize. Here's what Doc Williams had to say about where his business was at before attending Sponsor Games.
I just felt defeated. I didn't know how to talk to brands confidently. I hadn't closed any long-term deal, and I felt disillusioned. I was like, I don't think I can really make money on sponsors, but if I can win the games, I can make money off of that. And then going out, I was like, this feels sustainable. This feels like I can actually do this with my business long-term.
Any big wins that you can share after the event?
I mean, pretty much all my deals. Like, afterwards, I was like, we've done multiple 15K deals. And friends of mine, when I told them about, like, you just have to do this. My friend, he's always complaining, no one hits him up, blah, 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 blah. He'd never made more than $500 from a sponsor. I was like, just do this method. I was like, read this. And he closed him at 35K for 6 events. He's a local creator in a small town. And it was just because of that one thing in the bio.
So if you want to have the same transformation that Doc and his friend had, go to sponsorgames.com to grab your ticket. We're capping it at 75 creators this year. And actually, I forgot to tell you the craziest part. Every single meal is catered. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. We're basically blowing a huge chunk of the budget on amazing food. So what are you even waiting for? Go to sponsorgames.com to grab your spot.
Well, I need some more information before I agree to this. Where is it? And when?
It's in Thailand. And it's in 10 days. Do you think you can make this happen?
Well, that will affect the cost of the sponsorship.
Okay.
But I would love to come.
You would love to come. Okay. In addition to attending, there's going to be like 3 or 4 different prep calls that you'll need to have with our team to just like ensure that you're kind of, you know, following the talking points of what we need you to say at the event. If we're going to do this sponsorship, is that something you'd be open to?
Well, this is starting to sound like your sponsorship for...
You want the sponsorship or not, Janelle?
Well, we talked about what you're doing for I'm sinking.
All right, give it up for Janelle. Give it up. Okay. All right. Threw some curveballs in there. All right, so Janelle, step up from the mic here. So self-audit yourself. Things you did good, things you would improve.
I didn't just immediately agree to everything.
Okay.
So I thought that's a personal self-improvement.
Yes.
Whether you know that or not. This is not something I anticipated being part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So this happens a lot. Sometimes brands will bring things up that are completely unexpected. And it sounds like they're hinging the partnership on whether you will agree to this or not. And actually, can we all acknowledge like what Janelle just said? This sometimes brands will just like ask for the world and you just be like, I really want this. So you just say yes. And then you kind of instantly regret it. You get into the fulfillment phase and you're like, oh, this is like way more work than expected. I'm not being paid enough for this. Like you kind of start low-key resenting it even at the outset. And it's just like, oh man, this sucks, right?
I actually haven't pursued sponsorships
because okay.
I've been afraid of that.
Well, I mean, I appreciate you acknowledging that. And I think hopefully we're maybe getting past some of these mindset blocks, but like, I think there's like this big process that we need to figure out to understand like, how badly do I want this? I call it in my book and I talk about it as like, what is your hell yeah number? What is your heck yeah number? Where if they will pay me this rate, I will be thrilled to do this random thing that they're asking me to do. Mm-hmm. So whether it's to fly here or whether it's to talk about them this way, or as long as you're comfortable exposing that brand to your audience and so on. And so sometimes I think it's useful to like right now you're hesitant. You're like, cause I don't know if I ever would want to do that. I think it's very useful to pick your number. And that number is completely divorced from your follower. I think a lot of people get fixated on like, I need to get this number of followers or subscribers or viewers or whatever before I can feel comfortable charging this amount or whatever. Or what's the formula that I can use to like calculate how much I should charge for an ad because, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm always like, throw that out the window. What's the number that gets me out of bed, gets me excited? Is it 3 grand? Is it 5 grand? Is it 10 grand? It's different for everyone. And I think that hopefully will give anyone here a bit of like feelings of like liberation that like I can do sponsorships. Like I don't, as long as they like, you know, kind of like Heidi, we talk a lot about, she had like a minimum. What was your minimum? 7,500 for a long time. And that was just, and she has a very niche audience, right? And so it's like, don't be afraid to like figure out what that number is. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
All right. Give it up for Janelle. Let's go. We're a startup, so we can only offer equity instead of cash. Ready?
Stay tired.
Go.
That's so awesome. I've a startup as well. I used to work at startups. I'm also a big fan. I'm an angel investor.
Here's the thing. Like, Jonathan, we're really eager to get started now.
I am too, man.
Okay. But again, we're pre-revenue.
Okay.
And so, but we really see the value in you coming on as an advisor. We're going to give you a fat 0.1% equity. What do you think of that?
Okay. What's the cap table look like?
Oh, hit me with the cap table. Well, we've got 60 investors. So you're going to get diluted immediately. But I mean, the upside is like crazy. I mean, we're gonna sell to Meta like in a couple years.
Okay, are we talking about preferred or common?
Definitely common.
Oh,
okay. And so, what do you think? You want to do this deal?
Hey, you know, this is awesome. On Sundays, I do Shoot Your Shot Sundays. I really respect what you guys are doing. Maybe we can do a collab together.
Okay.
And let's talk about it over there.
Let's give it up for Jonathan. How many of you have gotten hit with the advisor share pitch or no cash or whatever? Okay, so the very first thing that actually audit yourself, go.
I think I did all right.
Okay. Anything you'd improve?
Of course, always.
Okay, and what? What would you do?
I would be more prepared for this conversation.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. I think, so from my perspective, the very first thing you did was slam the door in their face. You said, come back to me when you have more money, basically. And this translates into other times when they say they might have money, but it's not to your liking. They'll say, we have 1,000. Come back to me when you have a larger budget. How many of you have like ever said that? Yeah, okay. What you're robbing yourself of is the ability to articulate and educate them on why this investment makes sense. They're investing in things, even if they're pre-revenue. They may have raised money. They have employees, like in all likelihood. Maybe they have an office. They deemed those worthy expenses, right? So why not investing in you? Why would that not be just as worthwhile? And so I think rather than having a snap judgment of like, I don't want to take the time to educate these people. I think oftentimes that we're so busy, we're doing our on the content hamster wheel or whatever. Like we just don't have the mental capacity to like, I don't want to sit on a Zoom call and educate this person. I actually think you should have a different perspective here. It's your job to educate them. And in fact, you being the person to educate them will not only engender yourself into a much deeper relationship with them, but the moment that they are ready to invest, you're going to be the first person that they think of because you took the time to educate them. This happens all the time with traditional industries who may have never sponsored a newsletter or they've never really done new media and it takes a long sales cycle and all that. I have so many clients who this is the case where they're in like a super specific niche and it takes a really long time, lots of dead ends, lots of work. But then when that brand finally comes around, they want to spend 80% of the budget with this person. And so going back to the long game, where's Jason? Like really having this perspective that it's not just about getting this newsletter inventory filled for this one week. It's about building these long-term relationships, especially if you're in an industry that's small. Is that helpful?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Give it up. The only thing I will say for those of you who have never entertained these types of deals is just assume that all equity is going to go to zero.
Yeah.
It's not going to be worth much. So if you really believe in it and you see opportunity and you think you could influence the direction of this company in a positive direction, especially if you have distribution, then yeah, entertain it. But just assume it will go to zero. Other magazine publishers are doing this for half your rate, Rory.
Oh.
Ready?
Yeah.
60 seconds, go.
Why creators?
Well, there's this up-and-coming North Carolina distribution. Other creators, The Penny Saver. The Penny Saver is actually a really affordable distribution channel for us right now. And I kind of look at your magazine as a penny saver. So what do you think of that?
Well, it's definitely a different market. Distribution is different and you really get what you pay for. So The Penny Saver is about selling your products for a discounted price. Mm-hmm. We're selling value and what you're actually worth. And so it's a different buy, definitely valuable on both sides. But would love to talk to you more about the quality of the product and the value that you can get from it.
Well, if we do go with you, can you guarantee a certain number of sales?
So we don't manage your customer service and your product value and your messaging. We can certainly help you with that, but we guarantee you reach an audience and the right audience for who you're trying to get after. So that's what we guarantee.
All right. Come on. Give it up for Rory. All right. So self-audit there. What'd you do good? What do you think you could have improved?
I was highly offended that you...
that you talked about me in the same breath as Penny Saver and
showed it.
Okay.
I think I was probably a little aggressive and a little less friendly, so kind of made it so that maybe advertising the Penny Saver sucks, which is what I feel, but it's, you know, anyway, I need to maybe validate some of your decisions a little bit more.
How many of you have ever felt like you were low-key insulted by a sponsor or an advertiser because they 100%. Didn't value what you have? Yes? Okay. So it's very easy to instantly go on the defensive and just, you have this sour taste in your mouth. Like, I don't want to work with this person if that's the way that they feel. And what I always say oftentimes is like, how can we approach this from a place of empathy? Maybe you interpreted this as a dig. Like, you know, they're this big incumbent traditional brand and they're spending all this money and little old me, you know, and they're kind of looking down on me and I feel sheepish about that. The first thing I'll ask you to do is check yourself. Were they actually being rude to me? Or is this how I perceive myself in relation to this advertiser? Because oftentimes, maybe it was kind of an innocuous statement and you may torch a deal because you were emotional. How can you be objective about this and realize, actually, maybe there is a bit of validity into what they said, not the Penny Saver thing, but like some validity into their perception. If I was them, maybe I would have this thought too. So I go back to the education instantly, the consultant. How can I educate them about like why that's actually not the case? Okay. The second thing that I want to comment on is I talked about the guarantee, right? And you said, the first thing you said is, while we do not control the copy or the landing page or how your product sells and all that, the number one thing that I advise in this situation is that is your job. It is your job to advise them if you think part of their conversion funnel is broken. So if they give you a landing page and it sucks, it's confusing, you know that your readers will be confused when they land on that page, the offer's confusing, it's your job to tell them, I think we should create a separate landing page for me, brand.com/Rory, and it has a photo of me, and I do an exclusive piece of content for that page about the three reasons why I love this product. The copy on the button should change. Why would you do that? Because the conversions are going to increase, and they're going to want to hire you again. And a lot of you are sitting here thinking, like, that sounds like a lot of work. Yeah, it's work. Of course it is. But what do you think is going to happen? You are going to increase the LTV of that relationship with that sponsor. It's not just going to be a one-off transaction. It's going to be a long-term thing because they look at you now, not just another newsletter inventory, a commoditized partner, another ad insertion slot. No, you are someone thinking more deeply about their business than they are. That's someone that they keep on the table of partners that they work with. Yes, Ashley.
Would you charge more since you're kind of doing extra work? And two, how do you handle when they don't want to pay a fee, they want to do set up an affiliate?
So first part of the question is should you charge more? I go back to what we were talking about earlier. What is your minimum number where you get excited?
Okay.
I view that, if you want to break out consulting and advisory services as part of this, fine. But I view this as part of the deal. Just like Jason, I'm going to go back to Jason here, talking about like what we do for new sponsors and what we do for existing sponsors. We have a white glove service. This is how we operate. Part of what we do is we evaluate your funnel. And we say that this landing page sucks. And here's what you should do differently. A lot of times, sometimes brands will say like, oh, that's so much work. That's another department. Like, that's going to take so long. Can't you just do that? And I think that you're actually doing a disservice to your readers, to your subscribers, to your audience. If you just be like, oh, let's just cash this check. I send them the click. I send them the view. And I don't even deal with it after that. That's a flawed assumption. I know I'm speaking to a lot of newsletter operators who are like cringing at this suggestion, but this is my perception. You're actually doing a disservice to them if you are not, because again, like refunding them if it's a bad experience, or refunding them proactively, it's all about them. It's reader first, it's audience first. And if they're having a bad experience going to your sponsor, that reflects poorly on you, not just the brand. They now have a bad association with you because you recommended that product. So I do think that this is part of the deal. It's not just about sending them away and go, oh, who knows what happens. No, it's your responsibility to actually audit the experience. Similarly, if you're not auditing the coupon code or the discount code that the sponsor is sending, how many of you had this happen where a sponsor and advertiser offered as part of the deal some sort of discount and then people click through and the coupon code is not working? Who do they get mad at?
You.
It's you. Same philosophy here. Okay. Second question was around affiliates, if the brand wants to offer. So again, similarly to Jonathan, the first thing people say is, I don't do affiliate only deals. I do flat compensated things. Come back to me when you have a flat budget. Slamming the door in their face. And so what I talk about this in the book is that a brand telling you that they have an affiliate program, an ambassador program or whatever, is just another way of them saying that they don't want to pay you a flat. There's a lot of versions of this, by the way. They're saying, hey, our product or our service is expensive, so that should be compensation enough. That's one way. Or, oh, let's do a trial, and if it goes well, then maybe we'll consider paying you more down the line. So these are all like versions of no. An affiliate is one of those things. And so what I teach is that you have to pivot. In each of these scenarios, you're saying something different. So in an affiliate scenario, a pivot could be, for example, oh, thank you so much. I'm going to go check out your affiliate program. Out of curiosity, do your affiliates also grant you the rights to repurpose their content for paid advertising? That's something that I specialize in. Would you like me to send over a few investment options for what that might look like?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see? So now, what does the brand think? Oh, actually, no. We don't get the rights to repurpose this content from our affiliates. Sounds like Ashley's thinking about our influencer strategy or our partner strategy in a different way. Let's have a conversation with her and see what that might look like. So you were non-committal. You didn't say, yes, I'll be an affiliate. I'm going to go check it out. Fine. Another thing that I'll say is, I'm about to release an episode on my podcast where I was speaking with a partnership manager at a brand, and they had a campaign in August that they had $10K that they wanted to spend. And she had a heck of a time trying to find people to give this money to. The first place she turned for that flat compensated deal was their affiliate pool. Why? Because those people are already bought in. They're customers. They understand. They don't have to educate someone cold off the street. They go to this person of their top affiliates and they say, hey, we've got this seasonal promotion. We've got this Black Friday, Cyber Monday thing. Will you do a 4-day email sequence for us on XYZ? Here's whatever, a couple grand. That's the first place that they turn. So don't like immediately reject like, oh, I'm not going to be an affiliate. Like oftentimes brands will turn to that place. And frankly, like think about the evolution of a brand. Like oftentimes affiliate marketing is where they start. They don't start instantly jumping to flat compensated partnerships. They think, okay, first and foremost, let's send free stuff to people. See who talks about us. Next, okay, that was okay. Let's try affiliate. Let's try and compensate people if they generate a sale, right? And the next thing, okay, yeah, well, now maybe let's compensate some people in a flat capacity. So oftentimes the affiliate marketing manager is the person handling flat partnerships because that's how they evolve. They don't like hire a new person just to handle influencer marketing or partnerships, right? So you have to understand like how the journey happens and be empathetic to like how they're thinking about it from a marketing standpoint. Is that helpful?